Well, I don't know some days about these creators of the lectionary. We have four very unique readings that they have put together on this Sunday after Pentecost, and I think it's a little puzzle for the preacher at the beginning of the summer to try and figure out how they work together. Thank you, Tony, for your introduction to Genesis, because it doesn't even start saying much about what's happening, really. But it is, in fact, our Bible's version of Romeo and Juliet. The camels. Who's with the camels? Who's that man? Oh, Rebecca, Isaac. And they meet and live happy together ever after. Better than Romeo and Juliet, actually. So that's sort of the Genesis gist of it. It's a little more than that, obviously. I'm making a bit fun. But that's the heart of that reading this morning. And then we had the beautiful words from the Song of Solomon, which we often don't hear. Now, I need to tell you that when I was a teenager, it's summer, one of our youth group trips was to go away to a camp at Otter Lake with our priest and a couple other adults. And of course, late at night, what did we teenagers want to talk about? Sex. And the cabin we were staying in had some novels in the back room. And we were, the boys, of course, in particular, were looking through the novels for any of the interesting bits that the people might have left behind. Well, our priest found us, of course, and said, "What are you talking about?" And everyone turned beet red and looked at the ground and didn't want to say anything. And he said, "It's sex, isn't it?" And we all giggled, of course, and laughed. And he said, "Let me get you, if you really want to read about love and sex, let me get you a book." And he came back and handed us a Bible. And we all said, "You've been a priest too long." He said, "I don't think you've read the whole thing. And open it to these verses that Wendy sang. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he stands there behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, 'Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.'" And it goes on. And those aren't even the most racy parts of the Song of Solomon. And so we have that, again, another love thing in the middle of our readings this morning. We're going to leave Paul for a minute and go to Matthew. And Matthew is talking about how his burden is easy to carry. After he goes on this long rant about, "I know the Father, and the Father knows me, and the Father knows no one but you, except those who believe in me." If you got that, you're doing very well. But at the end he says, "My burden is light, my yoke is easy." And I think that is to help balance Paul in Romans today, because Paul is clearly having a hard time. He has issues, and anyone who has to read this reading has issues as well. And you did a great job, Brian. At 8 o'clock, John and I got the giggles halfway through, not because of your reading, but because of it. "I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the lot is good, but I don't do this, and if I do that, and if I have..." Yeah, anyway. Far too confusing. And essentially he says that no matter what he does, he's wretched. And who's going to rescue me from this body? Who's going to save me? And then he says, after all of that, after his moan, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do those fit together? It seems to me that there's a couple of things. One, they're all about relationship. They're all about love, in a sense. Relationship between people, our love stories, the two love stories we hear. Relationship between a person and themselves. And relationship between us and God. All three, that triangle of relationship that we all find ourselves in every day, each and every day. And how do we balance them out? And how do we feel good about them? And how do we actually live them out in love? And that's the trick, isn't it? Well, one of the things about these readings, besides the relationship, is the physicality of all of them. Paul is saying a lot about his physical being, though not in quite such obvious words as leaping gazelles. But he is talking about his sinful desires. Let's just say he's talking about desire. which we all have, I hope, or we wouldn't be alive. And so the thing besides the relationship is what draws us together. And we never, ever in our lives live without touch or looking each other in the eye or being close to one another. We're human and we yearn for connection. We yearn for that physicality of ourselves. Now, keeping that true and honest and appropriate all the time isn't always easy. But we must remember that we're grounded in our bodies, here and now. And that's where all those relationships work through. The last two nights, I was at out kayak camping. So I jump in my kayak, well, not quite that simple, and pack all your camping gear in it. And kayaks are tricky that way. I had to watch YouTube last year to figure out how to do it. Get in my kayak, off I go to a campsite, and spend a couple of nights by myself and then come back. So if I seem more relaxed today, I should. But the thing about that is, I wondered, last year I did it because I had never done it. And this year I did it for a different reason. I did it because I loved it, found out I could do it, and realized that I needed to do it. Why did I need to? Because in our society, as soon as you can hear the noise outside the doors right now, we are often taken away from our physicality. We're on pavement, in cement, in cities. We often forget what it's like to really be at one with ourselves and our physical nature and our earth, our actual earth. And so when I go away and do those things, I realized this weekend that it was about reconnecting my physicality and my relationship, my spirituality. Because when those are together, then everything else works. Everything else has its boundary, and I realize I'm very human. I'm very insignificant. That's one thing you learn when you're camping. You're insignificant. As I had breakfast the other morning, I was standing there, and a deer walked through my campsite. And I realized I'm nothing to that deer, except I could scare him, or he could scare, he just did scare me, actually. I looked up and went, oh, good morning. How are you? Not that he was going to hurt me, but I didn't expect to see a deer standing there. And so for us, it's about reconnecting, however you do that. I am a privileged person. I could afford to go and do that. I had the gear to go and do that. Not all of us have that. But even to go to our local park and sit with our feet touching the grass for a few moments is something all of us can afford to do. And I hesitate, but not really, to say we can't afford not to do it. Because when we are grounded in our beings, in our bodies, and know our limitations, and know our gifts, and know how to relate with others around those gifts, it makes our life a different experience. I was telling the 8 o'clock crowd this morning that my mother, at age 23, I didn't realize that until this morning, at age 23, after the birth of my oldest brother, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She died at 83, and 3 months before she died, she was still walking with a walker. And she'd never told anyone for years and years, except for my father, that she had MS. I didn't know until I was 17. And when she told me, it made a whole lot of sense. I wish she'd told me earlier. Made a bit of sense about just the why sometimes she wasn't feeling well. But the amazing thing about that was I asked her, Mom, why did you never tell anyone? And she said, because it's only part of my life. I decided it was not going to be all of my life. There's much more to me than this disease I have, and I am going to live my life with that as part of it, but well in check, knowing that that's just part of me. What a gift. What a gift to be able to do that, and what determination to keep going after 60 years of that. So she has always been a great role model to me, a little better than Paul, I've got to say, on days like today, because she didn't moan about it. She would not have been me and come back from camping last night and gone, geez, I think I need an Advil. You know, all that kayaking, sleeping on the ground, all that stuff, I must be getting old. And then I thought of my mother, and I thought of Paul, and I thought, isn't life lovely? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not those words, but that's what I felt. So when we sing Just As I Am, and when we offer ourselves to God, remember that it's in you the way you are right now, in this body that you get to inhabit for however many years you get to have it. And that's how we relate to each other, and that's how we also relate to God. So live in it. Live fully in it. Some days you may sound like Paul, but most days I hope you will sound like the Song of Solomon. Arise and come away. For the summer, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Arise, arise, and live your life to its fullest, with all of its graciousness, all of its humanness, and all of its relationship that brings us together with God. Amen.